Okay. So we're going to talk about power today, and I think that's all we've been hearing this morning is power, exousia, mostly exousia. I really didn't know during the week what we were going to talk about today, and usually the Lord gives me a clue, and I begin to look into the Word. Well, I didn't have a clue. But I happened to be talking to Jim, I don't know what day it was, and somehow he mentioned the word power. And when he mentioned that word, it just quickened to me, that's where we need to be talking about. So let us talk about what the Word of God says about power. Now, there's a number of words, in the Greek that are translated in the English as the word power. The most common, of course, is exousia, and that is the word authority. You have the authority, you have the right, you have the privilege, and you're authorized to do it. The other word, of course, is dunamis, which is the active power. I mean, it is the dynamite power. It is the power. Your engine that drives your car is driving it by dunamis, okay? Might, that type of thing. So let's look in the Word, and I wonder if we could start maybe in Mark. Mark chapter 3, and I'll go down to verse 14 and 15, I think it is. And it's right here. It says, "And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach and to have power." Now that's the word exousia, authority, and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out devils. Those were the two things that Mark wrote down right here in his gospel. Now, look over in chapter 6, which is only on the next page, and verse 7. "And he called unto him the 12, and began to send them by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits." So there's that word exousia again, over unclean spirits. Go down to verse 12 in the same chapter, "And they went out and preached that men should repent." All right, so they're preaching repentance too. "And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them." So they weren't just talking, there was action that was coming along with this. Now go back to Matthew. And Matthew 10, I believe it is. And we start in the first verse here. It says, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." Now, isn't that interesting? They use both words, all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Well, I would think disease and sickness would be almost the same thing. But they're listed separately here. All right. Come down to verse 5 now in Matthew 10. "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not." In other words, keep it, start right here in among your own people, among the Jewish people. Amen. "But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." House of Israel has plenty of lost sheep. Amen. How many of you believe the house of God has plenty of lost sheep? My goodness, there's plenty of them. And the Lord is sending the 12 to the lost sheep. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He wants them to say that. All right? Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers. Oh, raise the dead. Raise the dead. Cast out devils, which is demons. Freely you have received, freely give. So let's just keep going in this passage. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses. In other words, they were to go out on faith, really go out on faith. Amen. Why? Because he gave them authority to do it this way. Now, maybe he didn't give you the authority to do it that way, but he gave it to them. That was their instruction, okay? Neither scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, amen, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. Let's go down a little bit. And whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in is worthy and were able and thereby till you go thence. And when you come into the house, salute it. Okay? And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. All right? Do you have a peace about it? Rita was just sharing this morning. She's made a decision. She says, I have the peace about it, which means the Lord is in it. Amen? And if it be not worthy, let your peace return unto you. In other words, no, I don't have, this isn't a good house. I don't have the peace to stay here. Now, that might be very offensive, but you just say, well, the Lord isn't saying this place. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words when you depart out of the house or the city, shake off the dust of your feet. Don't take any of that city with you, not even the dust. Amen. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. We've talked quite a little about Sodom and Gomorrah. It wasn't a very nice place, was it? Amen. In the day of judgment, then for that city, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. All right, so what's happening here? Amen. First of all, they are sent. Hello? Did we hear that? They were sent. Now, if you go out and you're not sent, I don't know what you can accomplish. There's a lot of people going out that aren't sent. Well, maybe they're not sent by God, but they're sent by some church, some organization, whatever. And they're building things. They're building something. But are they building the kingdom of God? So if you are sent, amen, by the Lord, he also gives you the authority to do it. Now, we need to understand, if we're going to accomplish anything, we're not doing it in our own will or our own desires. You know, there's a big church system, and it's preaching, well, all you have to do is have faith. Have faith, you can do this. Have faith, you can do that. Well, then just speak to this thing. Just speak to that and speak to something else, and you're going to have it. Well, where is the word that the Lord gives you the authority to do that? You know, if you go out and find the dead people and you're going to try to raise them up, and the Lord doesn't give you the authority to do it, you're not going to do it. Let me give you some examples, all right, in my life. I had a heart attack in the fall of 2002. Was it the Lord's time to take me? Was it time that I would be healed? No, it was the word of the Lord. This is not unto death. There were different people gave that word. That Rita says she remembers when they prayed. It said, no, this is not unto death. So therefore, it was unto healing. Brethren prayed. I was healed. 3 months later, suddenly Sister Janet was taken. Well, I wanted that she should be raised from the dead. And in fact, I said, no, keep her on the machines for another, well, first I was going to say for a week, and then finally I said, well, 24 hours. Finally, it became very clear, no, this is the will of the Lord. The Lord is going to take her. That's it. He's not going to give power. He's not going to give authority. He's not going to give anything else because it is his will, and I'm not going to be able to go against his will. So you cannot go against the will of the Lord. So first of all, you need to know what is the will of the Lord, and get the will of the Lord, get his mind, know that you're sent to do it, and then he will give you the power and the authority. If you have the authority, it can be done. So let me read a couple more here. Did I read Mark 4:22? Let me read that one if I didn't already. We're talking about the word power here. Well, I don't know why I put that one down. I'll read it anyway. And he said unto them, is a candle brought or lamp that you put it under a bushel or under a bed and not be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hid which shall not be made manifest, neither anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. All right, I don't know why I wrote that down. Come over to Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 9, and start with the first two verses. Again, we're talking about the 12. Okay, we're going to get beyond the 12 here in a little bit. And he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Now, there's two words here. He gave them power and authority. So here, the word power means dunamis. He gave them dunamis and exousia to over all devils and to cure diseases. Now, I don't know that he has ever withheld any of that authority over devils. I think in the blood of Jesus, we do have that power. So let's move on to Luke chapter 10. All right, now so far, it's just been the 12 apostles. We're not seeing so much of the power of God these days, but as Jim told us in the beginning, I think that God is wanting to deliver us that authority because, well, I don't know, some of you can remember the days of the 1960s and 70s, and you remember that there were what shall we say, evangelists or men of God, let's just call them men of God, who were given great power and great authority, and great miracles were being wrought, and many people were being brought into the kingdom of God, and many people were being filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, I was being brought in those days because I saw the authority, saw the exousia that God was pouring out, and he was pouring it out to us as well. Now, like I said, there's many churches don't believe in this. They believe that this gift and this has been withdrawn from God, that it came to an end. Well, if you're not moving in it, of course you're going to make a doctrine and say, well, it came to an end. Well, or some will say, oh, well, that was only for the 12 apostles. Well, I'm going to give you some verses and show you that it was not just for the 12 apostles. Luke 10, let me read a few verses. Now, we're talking about the 70. He's sending out 70. What is the 70? Are they apostles? Who are these 70? Do we have any of their names? Well, we really don't know who they are. You know, Barnabas might have been one of them. Philip might have been one. But there are no names, just the 70. And the words 70, when it applies to the body of Christ, 70 is referring to the eldership. Where did we first find the number 70? When Jethro came to Moses and said, Moses, you can't do it all. You're going to need some help. Why don't you go out there among the people? And they appointed 70 men that were full of the Spirit of God, 70 men that had the vision. And there were 70 elders then that began to help with the administration of the body of Christ. So after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face unto every city and place whether he himself would come. What's happening here? Well, first of all, the Lord sent John the Baptist, and he sent him to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. Now, Jesus is sending 70, and he's sending them into these other cities for what purpose? To prepare the way for his coming. How many of you believe that God is going to, again, ordain those who will be sent to preach the coming of the gospel? I mean, to preach the coming of the kingdom and to preach the coming of Jesus Christ in his fullness in this day and in this hour. Amen. So, brethren, are we not being sent to prepare the world, to prepare the body of Christ, to prepare the church for his coming suddenly unto his temple? So let us go on every city and place whether he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. How many of you believe that's still true today? The harvest is still great, the laborers are still few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Now this is not just wouldn't you please go. Pray that he would thrust them out. Amen. Send them out with power. Amen. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Yes, Larry's just told us the world is full of wolves. The whole government system is full of wolves. Amen.
So is the church.
So is the church. Amen. Thank you for adding that, Larry. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And unto whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. All right, we read that over in Matthew, I believe it was. And if the Son of Peace be there, who is the Son of Peace, by the way? Well, wouldn't that be Jesus? In other words, if Jesus has already taken up residence there, it'll be a good place for you. Amen? Your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. Come back and hit you in the face. No, that's not the place. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give you, for the labor is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. In other words, don't wander all over the place. And unto whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before. What? And they enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. Now, what are they to do? and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. So they're coming out, announcing, they're coming out with a message of the kingdom of God. They're not coming to make organizations. They're coming to proclaim the invisible kingdom of God that is within you. This is the message that they're coming out to bring. But unto whatever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your way out into the streets, and say the same, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. In other words, there's places that are not going to have you. Apparently, there are places that are destined for judgment. Amen? You know, if the angels had gone to Sodom to preach repentance, they weren't ready to receive it. All right. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. In other words, they're going out preaching the kingdom of God, and they're not receiving it. Nevertheless, the kingdom is going to come, whether you agree with it or whether you don't agree with it. I'm just the messenger. I'm just preaching what's in the Word of God. I'm not preaching the opinion of that church or that evangelist or that faith healer or whatever. By the way, what's happening to the faith healers these days, Larry? I don't hear anything more about them. Are the faith healers still healing people?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. You don't hear too much about it.
Mike, what do you hear about them?
I haven't really been hearing that much lately either about that.
So what are they doing now? They're just preaching prosperity now, aren't they? So they're preaching you can get rich and you can have big mansions and limousines and jet planes and this type of thing. I guess that's where the faith healing ministry has gone now.
Money cures everything.
Yeah, okay. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than that city. It wasn't very tolerable for Sodom in the old days. What's it going to be like in the day of judgment? All right, let me go on here. Let me move down to verse 17 here. Let me go down to verse 16. He that heareth you heareth me. Now, are you really taking the word of Jesus? Or are you taking your own word? So if you're taking the word of God, if you're taking it from this book, if you're taking it from the Bible, it's the word of Jesus. He that heareth you heareth me. And he that despiseth you despises me. Now, that's conditional upon you sticking with the word of God, not going off on something else. And he that despises me despises him that sent me, which is the Father. All right, now let's go down to 17. So they went out. Now here we have the results. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us in thy name. So they discovered that they really had the power, all right? And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. What kind of authority is that? Satan got his little rebellion started. God gave him the opportunity to test some of the angels, and some of the angels joined his little rebellion. One day the Lord said, out. A bolt of lightning. All he had to do, point his finger, snap his hand out like a bolt of lightning. I mean, that's how fast Satan went out. He didn't have time to argue. He didn't have time to put up a quarrel. You know, there's people that think the conflict between the devil and Jesus is a pretty close, God is 6'4" and the devil is maybe 6'2", and it's pretty close, no, it isn't pretty close. God has all power, all authority. One, Jesus said, I could call 12 legions of angels. I wouldn't have to be put up on this cross. All I have to do, I have the authority to do it. But I'm not going to do it because it's not the will of the Father. So in other words, the will of the Father supersedes everything. You don't go against it. You don't try to use authority. You don't try to use exousia or dunamis to be contrary to what is the will of God. All right, let's move on. Behold, I give unto you power. Now that's that word exousia. He's explaining why they had such success. Behold, I give unto you exousia to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power, and that is the word dunamis, of the enemy. I give you exousia to tread on serpents and scorpions and dunamis over the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, let's see now, how far are we going to go on this? Yeah, one more verse. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Where are they written? In that book. The book. Amen. So the 70 were also sent out, and the 70 had the same power and authority that the 12 had. Now let's go back to Mark for just a minute. I got another verse here in Mark. Mark 14. Now this is a different aspect of this power. Mark 14. And Jesus is before the Sanhedrin here today. Oh, I got to go one more page here. And we'll start here in his trial before the Sanhedrin. And verse 60. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? And he held his peace. And answered, we're in Mark 14. We're in verse 61. But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of what? Power. The right hand of power. Now this word is dunamis. You shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of dunamis and coming in the clouds of heaven. In other words, you're going to see a demonstration of that power. You're going to see something happen, and you're going to know that there is nothing that can withstand that, nothing that can withhold that, nothing that can fight against that. Then the high priest rent his clothes and said, "What need we?" He went ballistic over that. He went wild when Jesus really revealed who he was. The high priest, he believed that he had the authority, that he had all the dunamis. No, Jesus revealed to him, "You're not going to have anything." So let's move on into a little bit more. But by the way, the word power is everywhere in the Bible. I'm just picking out a few. I found the word power in the book of Revelation 33 times that word is mentioned. We don't have possibly don't have time to go through all of them. Let me pick a few. Revelation chapter 12. Oh, this is the passage that everybody knows, and let me read it. Let's start in verse 7. Amen. And there was war in heaven. And there was war in heaven. How many believe there's war in heaven today? How many of you believe there's probably going to be greater war in heaven because we're going to see something happen? Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. These are powers and principalities fighting against God's mighty angels, amen, including Michael, the great archangel, and prevailed not. Who prevailed not? God's angels or the devil's angels? The devil prevailed not, amen. Neither was there found. Uh-oh, what happened? I'm sorry. Hold on. Hold on. I lost my. No, something's gone wrong here. I'm sorry. How do I get rid of this thing? There we go. I think we're back. All right. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. Something got touched. Where are we? Okay, we're reading in Revelation 12. Neither was there place anymore in heaven. All right. What heaven are we talking about? We just read that Jesus said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning out of heaven." So we're not talking about heaven, the throne of God, the place of great authority. He got thrown out of that place. We're talking about the spiritual realm. We're talking about the heaven realm of the human soul, including that realm. We're talking about the realm of going up and down and to and fro in the earth and trying to find whatever mischief he can work. So, and there was no place found anymore in heaven, no place found in the true church. Amen. The true church is going to put him out. Amen. And the great dragon was cast out. So he's going to be cast out of another realm of heaven here. Cast out. Amen. That old serpent called the devil. And Satan, just in case you're wondering who we're talking about, amen, which deceiveth the whole world. How does he accomplish that he appears to have all that power and authority? He does it all by deception, getting people to believe it, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. So he's cast down into a carnal realm. And when we're seeing that more and more, brethren, we're seeing more wickedness, we're seeing more murder, more just unrestrained wickedness lack of common sense, high government people believing that men can change into women. Governor of California supporting the thing. President fighting against it. I mean, come on. What is gone in the minds of human beings these days? Amen. He deceives the whole world. He was cast into the earth. So he's working himself down now in the carnal realms. And his angels were cast out with him. All right, down into the carnal realm. And I heard a loud voice. Now here's the key right here. When this happens, I heard the loud voice saying in heaven, coming from the Spirit, now, underline that word now. Now is come salvation. Amen. Are we at the end of salvation yet? Did we find all the salvation we're going to find when we came through the gate, when we came to the brazen altar? No. When we came to the brazen laver and got baptized in the Holy Spirit? No, that's not the end of our salvation. When we came into the holy place? No, not until we pass through that veil into the mercy seat, where we have all the power, all the authority, and says, now is come salvation and strength. Now that word strength is dunamis. When this battle takes place, when Michael helps us and Satan is cast down, and he manifests himself now as the Antichrist, when all hell really breaks loose, now is come salvation. Now is come dunamis and the kingdom of our God. Now is the fullness of the kingdom and the power. That word power is and the exousia of his Christ. How many of you believe we have all the power that we need right now? I don't have it yet. Why do we not have it? Well, maybe because we haven't quite come to this place yet. But you know what? There's going to be an outpouring of the fullness of the kingdom, the fullness of salvation, the fullness of dunamis, the fullness of exousia. Amen. And the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. You know, one of the problems might be that we're listening to the accuser of the brethren. Is he reminding us of our old sins of the past? Say, well, you don't deserve to have that. Look at you. Oh, you used to do this, you used to do that. Oh man, I've got this in my record. Oh wow, you know? And he makes his list. No, that list is under the blood of Jesus. That list, amen, is nailed to the cross. That list of what I used to do and what I used to be, and the things that were against me are cast into the sea as far as the east is from the west. So I'm not going to listen to that anymore. I'm going to say that I've been given power, amen, to become a son of God. We'll get to that in a little bit. Well, let me read a little more. It says, and they overcame him. And they overcame him. So this is a word for the overcomer. Do you know, I can't believe it. There are churches that do not preach overcoming. Do you know that? I don't know what they do with that. Just ignore it. Come on, brethren, we have to overcome. If you're going to be a son of God, you're going to be an overcomer. And they overcame him by what? There's three ingredients to overcome. What's the first one? The blood of the lamb. And they overcame him by the blood of the lamb. Not the blood of sheep and goats and cattle. No. Not the Old Testament laws of Moses. The blood of the lamb, the final sacrifice that we're ever going to need. It takes care of the accuser. The blood is all over what I used to do. It's covered. God doesn't see it anymore. It's just the devil that sees it and remembers it. But I'm going to overcome because I'm looking at it from God's perspective. I overcome by the blood of the Lamb. What else? By the word of their testimony. In other words, you're going to have to say something about it. You're going to have to remind the devil. He can't read your mind. You might as well just tell him. You know, I'll never forget Sister Janet telling the devil, look, you don't have any inheritance in this. You have no more power. You're defeated. You're going to burn in hell forever and ever. And then she began to praise the Lord. And you know, he can't stand that. He doesn't like you just praising the Lord and telling and the praises and power and glory and honor and glory unto the Lord. Devil doesn't like to hear that. He disappears. He's gone. Amen. So they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And what else?
They love not their lives unto the death.
You know, when I first read this long time ago, I liked it up until that point. I thought, this third ingredient here, I don't know if I'm ready to die yet. Can we put that off until some other time? No, we're not going to put that one off. If you're going to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, you love not your life unto the death. What was that Brother Groover was telling? He was in some bad section. Where was it? London? And these thugs, I don't know whether they had guns or knives or what. Anyway, they were threatening to kill him. And he said, well, you can't do that because I'm already dead. And it just that word frightened these fellows so bad. I mean, the power of him saying that I'm dead, the power of that. These fellas just dropped their weapons and fled. Now, I've never had that happen to me. I've never been had people put guns on me or knives or anything like that. Amen. But you know what? I'm so glad that the Lord gave me that word. It was in 2002. I talked about having that heart attack in October of 2002. On the way to the hospital, come on, you're going to get tired of me saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I said, Lord, what's going on? What's happening to me? And the Lord said to me, for you are dead. Well, I wasn't dead. I mean, in the natural dead. But you know what? Since then, I have thought, you know, I am so glad he said that to me. I have died. I've given myself to the Lord. I'm dead. You know, what's the worst thing now that can be done to me? Take my life? Well, it's already his. He's already got it. There's nothing worse. You cannot threaten me anymore. There's nothing worse that can happen. I'm already dead. Just like Brother Groover said to these thugs. I think it was in London that he was saying that happened. How many of you remember anything different? Do you remember him saying that, Mike?
Yes.
Amen. All right, let me go one more. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens. What heavens is he talking about? Now, this is the word of Jesus, remember, to John. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens. Now, we're talking about all hell breaking loose on earth. It's getting ready to, brethren. It's straining, it's pushing. I mean, it's the hand of God only that's holding it back. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens. That means you, the sons of God, the true church, the true believers living on this earth are going to be in heavenly places. He did not say this, "Rejoice ye heavens," giving instruction to the angels. John was to write a book to give instruction to angels. Oh, no, 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 no. If he wanted to talk to the angels, he'd just tell them. He wouldn't tell John to write it down. Therefore, rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. That's written to us, humans, mortals. But woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. Woe unto those who still remain in the carnal realm and of the sea, which is the unredeemed. For the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. I love that passage. I'm going to keep reading it. There's another good one. I was thinking of that this one just this morning. John 1. John 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, the actual word here is children, but it means the same thing. All right, the translator put sons. Let's read it then as sons. But as many as received him. Does that include everybody here? Is there anybody here that's exempt from that? If you are, you better receive him now. To them that received him, he gave power. He gave exousia. Exousia. You have the authority, brethren, to act and walk like sons of God. Now, I'm not going to say you have the authority to walk like a king, and like some of these preachers would say, well, you have the right to have riches and you have the right to have great mansions and this. No, that isn't what it means. It means you have the authority as sons of God to carry out the purposes of God that he sent you out to do, including preach the kingdom, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers. Amen. But do it according to the will of God. Amen. Remember, it is not the will of God that every man should not die. Some men are going to die, and it's going to be the will of God to do it. Hezekiah got the word of the Lord that it was his will that he would die. He begged the Lord. So the Lord changed his mind. He said, okay, you've got, how many more years did he give him? Forget what it was.
I think 15.
15 more years. Well, you know what happened because of that 15 years? Manasseh became king. Manasseh was born during that 15 years. And Manasseh was one of the most terrible kings that ever came along. Hezekiah should have submitted to the will of God and not ask him to change his mind. Well, he begged, and God said, okay, I'll be merciful to you. But God could see what was going to happen, and he would have had another king in there. All right, power to become the sons of God. Look at Acts chapter 1. You probably knew we were going to go here. Look at Acts chapter 1. Here we are. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Now, here is Jesus talking to his disciples, but you shall receive power. Now, this is the last words. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. In other words, without the Holy Ghost, you don't have that power. People that resist the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're not going to have the power. You might think, well, I've got intellectual power. You know, I resisted that for years. In my 20s, I resisted. And you know why I finally opened up to it? Because the Lord sent trouble into my life. Yes, I said the Lord sent trouble into my life. Well, I'm the one that created it, but he sent it in anyway. I mean, it came from my hand, but he didn't deliver me from it until I began to cry out that I needed more power to overcome these things. I mean, but ye shall receive power. Now this power, this happens to be dunamis, all right? But ye shall receive dunamis power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. Well, we're communing here across the uttermost part of the earth, aren't we? Amen. People on both sides of the Atlantic, whatever. I found another verse in Luke 24. Very interesting verse. Let me go back to Luke 24. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Here we are, Luke 24. Very interesting verse. And this again is toward the end of his ministry. Luke 24, verse 49. Okay. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power on high. And again, this is endued with dunamis. Stay in Jerusalem. Get together there. Wait in the upper room, 120 of you. Wait until, don't go out until you get that power. Don't try to do anything. Don't try to go out preaching. Stay there together, body of Christ, and something is going to happen, and you will be endued with, this time, dunamis. But, of course, they're going to have the authority to have it, too. Well, that is the main theme here. Now, let me look at some of the verses. I told you there were 30-some places in the book of Revelation that the word power is used. Most of the Revelation use of the word power is referring to the great and mighty God, great and powerful, mighty, great in glory. Most of that is referring to that. But let me take you to a few of the others that are listed here. We'll go through it. Let's start in Revelation chapter 2 in verse 26. So this is the church of Thyatira. He that overcometh. Now, you could say, well, he that doesn't overcome what? Well, he isn't going to have it. But he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto that quits before the end? No, unto the end. To him will I give power over the nations. Now, this is exousia power, authority. How many of you would like to have power over the nations? Amen? Yeah. Well, that doesn't mean you're going to be a dictator. You're going to be Stalin or Hitler or anybody else. No, you're going to have exousia power from Jesus Christ. Exousia over the nations. Now, come down here to chapter 6, and we're talking about these these four horsemen. Verse 8, the rider of the pale horse. Well, let's start in, this is the fourth seal. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given, what? Him, given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with a sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Now that word power is, I believe, exousia, power. Yes, authority. So here is the Lord giving the rider of the pale horse. Where is he getting the power to take over the authority over 1/4 of the world population? He's getting his power, he's getting his authority from the Lord. All right? Look in verse 11 now. Here's the two witnesses company. And it says in verse 3, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Now that word power is not actually in the original text. That word power was added by the translators, but it belongs there. I mean, it's implied. Otherwise, the sentence will read, and I will give unto my two witnesses. Give what? Well, come down here to verse 6, and you'll find out what is given. It says, these have power. All right? That's the word exousia again, authority. These have authority to shut heaven. They have the right to do it, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power, there's that word again, authority, over the waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. So they have been given authority. Exousia is given now to the two witnesses. Chapter 13, we're talking about the beast now that is coming out of the sea. Okay? Well, I'll read the first verse so we know who he is. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the names of blasphemy. Now this is the government system. This is the whole end time world government system that's rising up out of the sea of humanity, okay? And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, the dragon is who? The devil. The devil's system. The devil's kingdom. And the devil gave him power and his seat and great authority. Now, here he was given dunamis and exousia. Whatever the devil had been given is now given to this world system. This is going to be, this world government now is totally run by the devil. The devil's calling the shots on this one. Okay? And go to verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon which gave power, which gave exousia unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? In other words, he's got quite a military system with him. He's got the latest of all the of all the new, by the way, are you reading about all these new weapons that are coming online now? Oh my goodness. Powerful weapons that we've never heard of before that are just, I don't know, but you know what? God is not going to be afraid of them. He can wipe them out in 1 second. All right. Verse 7. Yeah. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, to overcome them, and power was given to him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. So exousia was again given to this beast system. Come over to chapter 16. We're just going through Revelation here a little bit. Chapter 16, verse 9. I'm just picking out a few. The fourth vial. Let's start with verse 8. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. God had authority over those plagues. Amen. And he poured it out. Chapter 17, we're talking about the great harlot here. Let's go back to verse 10. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, one is, and the other is yet to come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth unto perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received the kingdom, received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings for 1 hour with the beast. So they receive this exousia for 1 hour. All right, next verse. And they have one mind and shall give their power and strength to the beast. So they're going to give their dunamis and exousia to the beast. Go over to 18. 18, verse 1. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great authority, great exousia, great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. Amen. Chapter 19, the first verse. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Amen. Dunamis to the Lord. The last verse here in verse 20, down in verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. We talked about that last week. On such the second death hath no power. If you're part of the first resurrection, the second death has no authority, no exousia over you, and they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. All right, well, that's just a little look at power. And I'll turn the recorder off.